good? Awesome. Good morning, church family. How's everybody? Good? Awesome. We have a good week? Yeah, great. Well, I'd like to welcome you from the church and our families. It's nice to see everybody, and glad everyone's here. Got a few things, a few announcements. First of all, I'd like to congratulate all the grads. You know, yeah. Woo! My little baby is gone. He's out of school now, so amen. Yeah, really. So, all right, church council meeting tomorrow night, 7 p.m. We're going to try to do a CE meeting Tuesday, so we're going to try to get all of our Sunday school stuff up and going. It'll be 7 p.m. also on Tuesday, so please get a hold of me, send me text, what have you. I'd like to get everybody there. We got a lot of stuff to go over, try to get the church up and running again, get classes going, so on and so forth. Please watch all the Facebook and the church website for any upcoming events. And then 4th of July is coming around the corner. The fire department here is going to have a fundraiser, and they do typically will do chops, brats, dogs, chips. That's going to be at the middle school on the 4th, starting at 10 a.m., and as soon as everything's out, it's out. So please come early and support the department. So let's pray, and we'll go from there. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing, for your Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, that you just dwell in us. You guide us. Fill our hearts, Lord. Bless our souls. Bless our steps. Please, Lord, let everything we say and do, O Lord, glorify you. Most of all, Lord, look after the pastoral teams. Guide them and direct them. Look after our first responders. Protect them, Lord. Look after our presidency and the candidates, Lord. We know that everybody who is put in power, O Lord, you have blessed them. You have guided them. You put them in power. Help us, Lord, to be wise. Most of all, Lord, help us to give you glory always. In your holy name, Lord. Amen.
Can we stand, please?
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mighty. Chains are gone.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. It is great to have you guys here this morning, and it is wonderful to be able to be here and worshiping the Lord with you together today. As we head into the sermon this morning, I just want to bring some things to your attention, people we can be praying for. Continue to pray for Ralph Giese that the grumpy old man continues to do well. Pray for Esther Martin and her family. Right now, her son, Tim, is recovering from an illness, and he's trying to work. Her sister, Helen, is having some struggles as well. Pray for the Pokornik family as they travel home from a wedding, and continue to pray for Connie White's sons as they're doing really well, but pray for their families that they continue to gain strength each day. Also pray for John Matthews and his foot surgery that he had, and that he gets well, and the unique kidney transfer that took place in our own community between Jessica Hockman and Andrew Schweitzer, that they're doing well here as well. Alicia Walters needs a little bit of prayer, and also continue to pray for Brad Wilson, and that he gains strength and recovers, and he starts physical therapy this coming week, that he is able to make it through those. Carol Katzenberger is not feeling the best. Pray for her. And there's a whole list of a bunch of people with cancer and other situations that are in your listed here as well. So let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you that you are God alone, that you are King of Kings, you are Lord of creation, and you created this earth and everything in it. When you did that, it was perfect. And you took a little extra time and you fashioned from the dust of the earth mankind. And you made us in your image in so many wonderful ways. And you breathed life into us. You didn't do that in anything else. You created everything else, but when you fashioned and created us, you breathed life into us. And Lord, it's been an interesting ride ever since that day. We were mostly created like you, but unfortunately there's faults within us that make us human. And because of that, sin entered into the world, and because of that, sickness and death entered in. And Lord, we see it all every day. And we just ask that you, the God of creation, would come alongside all these people we've talked about this morning that are sick and needing a special touch from you. The list is long, from surgeries to transplants to cancer to just old age. Lord, we just ask that your hand would be upon all these people today, that you would reach out and bless them and touch them in an amazing way. Provide them with strength, provide them with courage, provide them with all that they need. And Lord, we just ask that this morning, as we turn to your word today, that you would speak to our lives in such a way that we could trust in the God of all creation to continue to supply all of our needs, and especially through Jesus Christ, his Son, in whose wonderful name we get to pray. And all God's people said, amen. You know, about 100 years ago when I was in college, I had to read this book, and I think it was the book called In His Steps. And has anybody ever read that book? Anybody? A couple people. I think the book was called In His Steps, and there was this little town that had grown pretty dark and pretty confused over the course of time.
People are starting to treat each other terrible, and lives are kind of falling apart all around them. And the only thing that seemed to be reported in the news were things that were sensational or tragic or terrible. Fear and distrust and apathy began to fill the hearts and the lives of all the people. And as things grew more and more negative, hate began to overrun the town. And something really had to change. Because the quaint, beautiful little town had turned into something that was becoming more and more ugly day by day. And one day, a man walked into church with his hat in his hand. He walked down the center aisle, and he turns to the congregation, and he asks them, what would happen if we stopped focusing on the negative? What if we started focusing on that which is good and kind and lovely and the good things in the world instead of the things that we've been talking about? Let's focus on the good things instead. Well, the newspaper man, he sat on one side. The TV guy, he sat on the other side. And one of the things that happened was, as they thought about it, and they decided that they were going to go from that moment forward and only produce good things. The good news stories, the things that people were doing that were right and kind. They weren't going to post the negative, the horrible. They were going to focus on the good things. And everybody told them they would fail and their businesses would be ruined. Because nobody wants to hear that stuff. They just want to hear what's going around in the lives of people around them. But they took the risk and they began to focus on the good things. And the whole community did. And life got better and people became happier and they became nicer to one another and more loving towards one another. And that small town charm returned to that town and the town was saved. Now, doesn't that sound like the world we're living in right now? I mean, if you were to pull out your smartphones and you were to look at them right now, 9 out of 10 things listed in the news feed there would be something negative, something horrible. Or if it was something somebody was doing good, one of the things that would happen was somebody would come at it from a negative aspect. Yeah, he gave $1 million here, but you know what? There was a guy that was holding a sign by McDonald's and said, we'll work for food, and he didn't give him any money. And you can give away $1 million to do good, but you are still a terrible person because you didn't help that one. And it seems like wherever we go, the world we live in is becoming darker and darker. And we have a constant barrage of garbage and darkness coming at us at all times. And you know, it used to be 24/7, but here's the thing. Now we've got computers in our pockets, computers on our end tables, TVs, constant news feeds. So it used to be 20, you know, a few hours a day, and it turned into 24/7. But when you multiply it by all your devices that are constantly beeping, explaining something new and terrible going on, it seems like we're being overrun and overwhelmed. Our world is being filled with nothing but negative, hurtful, and hate-filled information. People are not trusting anyone anymore because it seems like everybody's abusing the trust that they were given. It used to be, I could trust you, I could accept you and love you until you proved me wrong. That's the way we used to go through life, you know? Hey man, nice to meet you. Good to, you know, but now it's like nobody's worth the time to love and trust anymore. And we're always like, what's going on? What do you want? And it's causing us all to become more distanced. And social distancing has further distanced us from one another. And I hate to say it, but I wrote down, I said, unfortunately, I have to say that this has crept into the church and the people of God. But you know what? It's always been there, hasn't it? Because we're humans, and all of this is just growing more and more in all of our lives. It's bringing out the negative part of all of us. And you know, here's the thing. I am a very, very negative, bottom 30% glass, one-third full type person. So if you want someone who can find the fault in anything, in anyone, in any situation, then you, I'm your man. It's easy to do. And as a matter of fact, it's by the grace of God that I, you know, here's the thing. I know there's a God in heaven, and I know he's got his thumb on my life because of the simple fact that I do everything I can, and where I fall short, he helps out in keeping me from exploiting that and abusing that ability. Because we're really good at tearing one another apart, aren't we? I'm wondering if instead of focusing and being distracted by the lesser things in life, we focus our attention on the good and godly things. Because what we fill our hearts and minds with will dictate our attitudes, and our attitudes will dictate what kind of day we have, and what kind of day we have will determine how we treat one another. I wrote down your attitude. There's an old saying that your attitude will determine your altitude and how high you will rise in life. If you fill your mind and your heart with darkness, fear, and negative things, and you begin to grow in spitefulness and hatred, it will flow out in all the areas of your life. And every day you will replay and rehash and chew on it over and over again, and it's going to steal your joy, kill your relationships, and destroy your lives and the lives of others. You see, when we focus on the negative, that's what we become. When we focus on the positive, that's what we become more like. I would love to be able to be a person who focused completely on the positive and was the most positive person in the room, but that's like something trying to overcome a massive, massive problem in my heart. But God says if we do that, we can begin to become the person that is filled with good things. You know, Luke wrote in chapter 6, verse 43 and 40 through 45, he says this, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings up the good things of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks." You know, I grew up in the most negative home. If we weren't complaining about something, somebody, or everything, we weren't a happy group of people. We didn't have anything else to talk about. And when I kind of broke free from that, and when I tried to take a different route than them, I found it that life became hard because I didn't have the natural things to talk about with people. I had to retrain my mind, and I had to look for the good things so we could talk about those things. And it's easy to creep back into those old habits. You know, have you ever really listen to some of the things that you say? Have you ever, okay, those of you on Facebook, when you see stuff, there's like three different levels there. There's stuff that you look at and go, oh, that's good. And then there's stuff like, ooh, that's kind of borderline. And then there's the stuff that's way over the line so far that you look at it and you go, oh my goodness, I can't even post on that because if I do say anything, then people are going to think really bad of me. But doesn't that stuff kind of resonate at what's in the bottom of your heart? You agree with it and you like it, but you're like, I'm not going to put my name on the line to like that post. Because really deep down inside of us, there's some stuff there that just needs to be ripped out and plowed under. Sometimes I see people put posts on. My family always said that about me. Whoa, really? You posted that? And I'm like, what? It's not that bad. Oh, maybe it is. Now I see it your way. It's not as funny as I thought it was it? But sometimes the worst in us flows out unfiltered out of our mouths and through our fingertips. Because we can get away with saying it because we don't have to look a person in the eye and say it to their face. So how can we get away from that negative thing? How can we change that reality and shape and mold a new one for ourselves? Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I think Paul's giving us a prescription on how to cure the problem within us, that we need to focus on those things which are true and noble and right and pure and lovely. And, you know, the only thing besides my wife that measures up to that is God. Because I think Deanne's pretty pure and lovely and wonderful. And hi, honey. She's over there going, oh, stop digging. All right. But, you know, here's the great thing about God. He is all those things. And if we were created in his image, he put those things and made them available to us, and he put them in us. But we've got to make them grow into things that matter and change us and make us into something great. We need to let them grow up and overshadow the rest of the things and smother them out. We need to focus on God and his goodness. And that's why it's so important to read the Old Testament. Because we see a bunch of stiff-necked, angry, mean, horrible people that God keeps running through a mill, that he keeps loving them, and he washes them, and he loves them, and they mess up, and he loves them, and he brings them back. We see stories of God's love and faithfulness to an unfaithful people. We can see that we can trust him and can turn to him and return to him when we fail. That he's always on the front porch waiting for the prodigal to come home. That he runs out and he meets those who have fallen short and says, I love you and we can fix this. And in it we see ourselves for who we really are and that we should fear God, but we also can see that the God of all creation, who should wipe us from this planet, gathers us up in his arms and says, I love you. We should be running to him and leaving behind those things, those lesser things. God in his goodness, mercy, and love endures forever to 1,000 generations of those who love him. And that should get you excited and make you Pentecostal this morning. Should get somebody fired up, but you know, there's this one guy that I'm not so sure about, that Jesus could really, really love and save a guy like that. Either he can or he can't save anybody. Either his word's true for that guy, or it's not true for you. Because none of us are any better than anybody else. And God is a God who can redeem and love even the worst of us. But you know, instead of preaching that, we're overwhelmed and distracted by so many other things. We're distracted by stock markets and COVID and masks or no masks and political nonsense that we see on TV every day. We're more enamored with TikTok and cat videos than we are Jesus. Sin seems to be the flavor of the day, and we look at it and we can sit privately in our homes and we can scroll through our phones with nobody looking while we laugh and we joke and we enjoy sin, and we wonder why God's power isn't being unleashed in our churches, in our lives, in our homes, and in our communities when it seems like everything just gets darker and darker. See, we need to refocus our focus and our hearts and our minds on Jesus. Because if what we focus our attention on and fill our lives with flows out of our hearts and out of our mouths, maybe we should start talking more about how God is good and he loves us instead of how messed up the world is. David, the young shepherd boy, knew that it was important to talk about how good God was. He would sing about him in the field at night. Maybe his singing scared away the animals and kept them at bay while he was protecting the sheep. But you know what? The incredible thing that was that as he sang words of encouragement about God and his faithfulness, he was encouraged and strong enough to go and defend against the wolves, to defend against the lions and the tigers and the bears. It gave him the courage to face the giants in his life whenever they came. And as an aged king, David relied on the memories of God's faithfulness and provision. Because I tell you what, when you're towards the end of things and you're looking back at all the things that you've done right and all the things that you've done wrong, you really need to trust in something more than yourself that you're going to be in God's presence. You need to be able to trust in God and his love and faithfulness, because he is faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to him. And while in those middle years, David, when he finally became king and he was moving into Jerusalem and he was bringing in the Ark of the Covenant and all the royal officials in tow, he wrote a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving about God. 1 Chronicles 16:8 through 12 says, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him and sing praise to him and tell of all of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength and seek his face always. Remember the wonders that he has done, his miracles and his judgments he has pronounced." And you know, it's incredible because David says, give thanks to God and do it continually, every single minute of every single day. Think about the things that you can give him thanks for. Call on him continually, every moment of every day, because he is there and available to all who seek him. Make known to the world all of his wonderful acts, all the time and to everyone. We should be able to speak graciously to everyone. I stopped and I was talking to a guy about some metal for a building, doing some patchwork on a building. And I said, "Hey, you know, we're talking about different things." And we got talking, and then one thing led to another. He says, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And he says, "Oh, really?" He says, "I used to be Amish." And I was like, "Really?" And so we got into this Amish discussion and a Mennonite discussion and all these things through these different things. And then we started talking about God and how he's good, and that God wants to redeem these crazy times in which we live in. I was there to talk about metal at $2.29 a foot. We ended up talking about Jesus. You know, if you're slick, you can work Jesus into any conversation because he fits in every moment and aspect of your life. But you got to let him. David said, sing to him. My old youth pastor, I called him up one day. I said, "Man, I just can't stop. I'm like going down this road of negative. I can't stop thinking. My mind's running away from me. I don't know what to do." He says, "When I get like that, all I do is I just start to sing. I sing about God and his goodness and his glory and his love. And pretty soon, I'm not thinking about those things. I'm thinking about Jesus, my Savior." Look to him and find and rely on his strength. Why? Because you can go to God and rely on his strength. And he can and is able to help you in your time of need. Verses 23 through 28 of 1 Chronicles 16 says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He's to be feared above all gods. For all gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." You know, I look at what David was saying. He was excited about the one true God, the God who created everything, the great and mighty God who made us and sustains us and provides for us and loves us and helps us endure in times when we want to give up. I had to look up the word ascribe to get that old term and figure out what it meant. And ascribe means to assign or acknowledge or give credit for. Give God the credit he is due for what he's done and who he is. When you look at a piece of artwork, some people can look at something and say, "You know, that looks like a Da Vinci. That looks like a Rembrandt or a Michelangelo, or it looks like this." And they compare it to other things and they say, "Yes, this came from this artist." Well, here's the beautiful thing about the canyons, like the Grand Canyons, and the mountains like Mount Everest, and the stars in the sky, and the giant caverns at the depths of the sea. God created all of that, and he created it for you and I to enjoy, and he created us in his image to enjoy it with him. David calls out to God, his creator, and ascribes to him the glory and the strength and the ability to deliver and save that only he can provide. that he is worthy of our praise and our worship. He's a faithful and trustworthy friend, and mostly we can turn to him in good times and in uncertain times. When times were tough, David turned to God. When everyone said he should kill Saul, he said, I can't do that because that'd be sinning against my God. In times were uncertain, he turned to the one true God to provide him a path. And David made it a point to honor God in every area of his life. Now, he wasn't perfect. And you and I aren't perfect either. But the beautiful thing about the imperfect King David was that he could go before the perfect God and approach him. And so can we. And we can do it in every single area of our lives. We can turn to him and trust him no matter what. And you know, David took this life of his that he put before the Lord to an extreme and acknowledged him in every single area. In the good things and the bad, the things that needed to be redeemed by God and the things that he had that were David's attributes. He said, these are all from God. But it was unique about David is he did something else. Verse 29, he said, challenges all of us with this. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. For some of us, that's an offering of praise. For some of us, that's an offering of giving of our tithes and offerings. Because when we give of our tithes and offerings to God, what we do is we acknowledge or ascribe to him the fact that he is the one who's provided all that we have and will continue to do so. It's an act of worship that shows that we honor and value what God has done in our lives and is doing in our lives, and we trust him with what he will continue to do in our lives. We acknowledge him as the source of all we have, as provider and supplier, and also King of kings and Lord of lords of everything. And we say, God, here's 10% of what I have, and if you need more, just give me a call. And you know what? God has said the same thing. He says, I've given you all that you need. And if you really have need of more, ask and I can supply even more than you could ever imagine. When we give of our tithes and offering, it shows our trust and reliance on him. And then people look at us and say, why do you give? Why do you give to the church? Why do you give to God? And we can say, because God gave it to me first, and I just trust him with it. And I want to say thanks. Because I can trust him to continue to do so. You know, it's funny, I've had two people in my lifetime tell me that they've been audited by the IRS. You know why they were audited by the IRS? They gave too much money to the local church. They thought that they were doing something dishonest because they gave too much money, more than was allowable according to the IRS, to the church. And I thought, how funny is that? That you could actually be audited for acknowledging God too much with your life. But what if it was true that our life was audited today by the world around us and the IRS and everyone because of how we live? It happens. Everybody watches everybody. And we need to start talking about the good things people are doing. And encourage that. And maybe people will do more of it. So that in the dark and difficult times when we found ourselves living in this time and space, which is so difficult for people to get along, maybe we can come together under the umbrella of his love, and that will join us together instead of dividing us apart. I want you to know that you can trust him in every area of your life, in every way that you need him. There are people in this room who need forgiveness of sin. Anybody with me? I'm not perfect. There are people in this room who need to come to him for salvation, and he will provide that for them. There are people who are listening to this message who need help from God in some way today, and you can come to him for provision. Some people feel so insecure in life that they don't know which end is up, and all they need to know is that they can hide in the shadow of God's loving arms, because there is no one you can trust better than him. Let me ask you, are your lips filled with COVID reports and is your mind racing with what's wrong in the world? Or are you trusting in God and what He's doing? You know, it's time that we focus on what is right and true in all of God's creation and speak of those things instead of what we normally do. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And you know, here's the thing. I can get up here and tell you all these things about God and His gratefulness. And there are some of you who are just a touch older than me, and you look at me and you go, "Kid, you'll learn. You'll learn what I've learned. Yes, it's true, but it's hard to listen to advice from me." So I brought for you a video clip this morning that I've stumbled on, of all places, Facebook this past week. And it's from Grandpa David Jeremiah. Anybody watch David Jeremiah? If I ever had a grandpa, I would want him to be like David Jeremiah. There's no one smoother, better, and okay, I take it back. Nancy is as sweet and as wonderful when she speaks like that. Because I love hearing Nancy talk about her Jesus. We're going to play this clip for you from David Jeremiah. It's a couple minutes long. But let this wash over you this morning, that you can trust God even in uncertain times.
Well, I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. I do have a prophet's name. I cannot tell you what God is going to do with this time of sheltering, but I can tell you what God has done during and after times of sheltering in the past. And once you review the truth of history, as I describe it below, I think you'll know what He's going to do this time too. God sheltered Noah and his family for 1 year in the ark until Noah emerged to become the father of all the nations of the world. God sheltered Jacob in the home of his uncle Laban when he needed to escape the wrath of Esau, his brother. And 20 years later, Jacob emerged with a new family, new wealth, and a new identity. He became Israel, the new name for God's chosen people. God sheltered Joseph from his 17th year to his 30th, but his slavery and prison became the school where God prepared him for greatness. God sheltered Moses in a remote desert for 40 years, but Moses came forth to liberate the Jewish people from Egypt. God sheltered Naomi in the barren land of Moab until she nearly became bitter, but she and her daughter-in-law Ruth traveled to Bethlehem to participate in one of the greatest love stories of history. God sheltered David for 15 years after he had been anointed king of Israel. And when David finally assumed the throne, he was a man after God's own heart, and he gave us many of the Psalms. God sheltered Elijah by the brook Cherith, and after the sheltering, he stood alone against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. God sheltered Jonah for 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. And when the sheltering was over, Jonah went to Nineveh and preached history's greatest revival. God sheltered Daniel for 70 years in Babylon, where he wrote this Old Testament book bearing his name, outlining the future of God's dealings with his people. God sheltered Esther while in the palace of the Persian king, and she saved her people from destruction. God sheltered the disciples in the upper room for 10 days until the Holy Spirit descended in dramatic fashion to form and fashion the church. God sheltered Paul in the Arabian desert for 3 years, and when he came back, he turned the world upside down. God later sheltered Paul in a Roman prison, and by the time the apostle was free, he had written the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. God sheltered the apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, and the book of Revelation, the greatest prophetic document of all time, was given to us. Lastly, and most incredibly, God sheltered Jesus in a tomb for 3 days. And on the third day, Jesus came forth in power to bring salvation to the whole world. So no, I don't know all the details about what God is going to do. But what I do know is what he has done. And that is what we can count on. The God who sheltered his people in biblical days won't stop now. So come what may, I'm trusting in the sheltering God to be my refuge. And so can you.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I trust. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you'll take it from a young punk kid like me. I've only got a half a century in on this planet, and I've only got 35 years following Jesus. But maybe you'll listen to Grandpa Jeremiah. He's got it set, and he said, hey, I can only tell you what God has done, and I can only trust that he will continue to do the same thing for his people. Maybe you need to go back and you need to start digging and from Genesis all the way through Revelation and see what God has said he will do for those who love him. But I want you to know one thing is for sure. If you start to focus on the good things and you focus on God things, then the great things will appear before you in mighty ways. And you'll see God do something amazing and great in your life and in this world. Because it is not lost yet. There will come a day when it will end. And God will be there to greet his people. My hope and my prayer is that you're one of them. And until that day comes, may we trust in him in all situations. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4 says this. Hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, my strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. May that just wash over you that he is a God who is there to shelter you in times like this. But in everything that was mentioned by David Jeremiah, every time they came out of sheltering, they went out and proclaimed the goodness of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be ready with a word of encouragement so that you can speak it when someone asks, and maybe even if they don't ask. Because God's people need to speak before we're silenced. Let's pray. Father God, I cry out to you from this place today. Do something in our lives and in our time that is so amazing that no one can deny what you're doing. I pray that you will unite us as your children, that we would surrender our lives completely to you, that you would speak in our lives and through our lives to a lost generations, that you will bring security and steadfastness to those who love you and serve you, and may the rest of the world desire that. Because we don't need to live in fear, we need to live in trust. And the God of creation, the protector and provider and the lover of our souls. And we are able to do that because of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Couple quick things. We're going to have our closing song, and then after that, we've got someone who's going to do a special music, but also just a reminder on the way out that the offering plates are on the outside corners. You're able to drop your offering in there as you go. So this is the last you'll hear from me this morning. We're going to have the closing song that we're going to do, and then the service is done, but we're going to ask you to stick around for the special tribute song that's being done this morning as well. Thank you.
just thank you for this service. We just pray, Father, that you might just guide us throughout this day, throughout this week. We just pray, Lord, that you might just continue to protect us and run this country. And we just ask, Lord, that you might just bless everybody everywhere. For we ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.